I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Well, if you're hosting a Thanksgiving gathering next week, there's no need to panic, because later on Soundbites, Chef Anthony Devoti of Five Bistro and his mom are here with some timely tips and suggestions, and we'll open the phone line so they can answer your questions and ward off any potential culinary disasters. The St. Louis Symphony is in New York City today for a performance tonight at Carnegie Hall. The Symphony's Adam Crane is there with the latest. We'll check in with him. But first, we continue our coverage of the St. Louis International Film Festival, which winds up this weekend. Today, two filmmakers with work in the festival. Both are originally from the St. Louis area, and both are graduates of Webster University. In a few minutes, Brian Jun will preview his film, She Loves Me Not, about a reclusive novelist struggling to find romance. Peter Bolte's All Roads Lead begins with the death of two young girls. Peter Bolte, welcome to Cityscape.
Thank you for having me.
All Roads Lead comes off as a documentary. That's what I thought it was at first, because it's about a New York film crew that come to Southern Illinois to interview people in a small town about the death of these two young girls, but it's not really a documentary.
No, it's not. It's a narrative fictional film that uses documentary storytelling techniques as a tool to tell my story.
Right. Essentially, the entire film is film clips of basically this film crew, interviews that this fictitious film crew is conducting.
Mm-hmm. The thing stemmed actually from real footage. There was a car fire, and it's a documentary within a documentary.
There are certain
fictionally, but I don't want to reveal certain things for audiences who have not seen it.
I know where you're going with that, and I know what not to reveal.
And that's why I'm trying to, it's hard for me to.
But back what you were saying, this footage, it begins early in the film, there's footage of a car fire. And you're saying that's actual footage of an actual car fire that you took?
It is, 2005. It was a blizzard in New York. And I heard this commotion outside and grabbed my mini DV player, or recorder, and just started shooting it. And the flames were getting bit larger and larger and larger, and it exploded. There were two or three explosions throughout the process. And I just sat on the footage for years. And in 2012, the spring, I started writing a script, and it came together fairly fast because I knew I'd be using it as archival fake, you know, for this quote-unquote documentary.
So what you did is you took the film footage that you originally took of an actual car fire and used it in the film. And in the film, there's a voiceover during this footage of a New York resident, not mm-hmm. you, that took the footage. So why don't we play a clip of that
sure.
right now?
Sure.
And this is from the film All Roads Lead.
He's right there across the street, through those trees.
And the snow was coming down pretty heavy, so there weren't a lot of people out. And I heard the commotion, and I went to the window and looked out, and there it was. There was this car on fire. I could see between the trees, and it was really incredible. So I grabbed my video camera and a tape, and I started shooting, and there wasn't a lot of movement around, but I could see a couple of firemen moving toward it. And so not long after I'd started shooting, there was a pop, and it exploded. I could hear the sound of a couple of fire trucks coming. I hadn't heard the first one arrive, but I could hear what sounded like the second or third one, a couple of sirens getting closer. And I kept shooting right up until the smoke started to come in the windows, and there was this smell, this plastic, metal, really foul chemical smell. Yeah, I'll never forget that.
The film is All Roads Lead, which premieres this weekend as part of the St. Louis International Film Festival. Filmmaker Peter Bolte is with us today. So it's the story of you've made up this fictitious town in Southern Illinois. It was actually filmed in Pinckneyville.
It was. The town is called Colston, and Colston mimics many small towns across this country who have this blight of economic depression from industry leaving and the shifting of jobs and people moving out. And so it's not about Pinckneyville per se.
No.
It's about the Midwest.
So people start talking early on in the film about these two girls. I think they left town when they were 15 and 16, respectively, left the small town and went to New York. And you're not sure exactly why or what's going on. But there are interviews with, I don't know, their moms and friends and relatives. The film is entirely comprised of these interviews of the people that knew these kids. And it's really interesting because at first I thought it was all about these two girls. And as time goes on, it's about a lot more than that.
Yeah, and that's where the film gets complex. And the story in itself it's about the search and the telling of this existence of these two girls and the event and the fire and the tragedy and the people surrounding their lives. But beyond that, it becomes about the filmmakers who are telling the stories and what they are learning and how they must deal with the information that they're obtaining.
And there's an incredible twist to it, which we won't divulge, related to that. But one of the other things that comes out early in the film is the importance of this local bar in this tiny little southern Illinois town.
Yes, and that was a small bar that we found in between Nashville and Pinckneyville. And the owners were very accommodating to us, and we used that as our location.
Let's go to this next clip from your movie. And in this, these are people that are employees of the bars talking about things that happened there.
We have some occasional trouble. We kind of keep it under wraps, you know. I have a relationship with the cops, and we do okay.
Sometimes people need to be removed from the premises, right?
And
you don't want to be a big man about it. You do your job.
And does it ever continue? Does it ever escalate?
Nah, the front door is that line demarcation. Get them out the front door, we're done.
What's the worst thing you saw?
Saw these two guys fighting at the bar. I think it was over a girl or something. Bouncer throws them out. And they were just arguing. We all went outside to see it. And one of the guys pulls out a box cutter and just takes out his eye, splits him all the way down the cheek. He's just got, you can see the bone. He went to the hospital, and he was in the hospital for 2 months, is what I heard.
Were you working the night that there was a fight, some guy got cut with a box cutter?
Yeah, well, it's a bar. People get rowdy sometimes and just have to send in, the big guns.
The film is All Roads Lead. It's Peter Bolte's film, and it's in the St. Louis International Film Festival. And, Peter, did I not get it or not? After watching it, I wasn't sure of the connection, connecting all the dots. If there really was a connection between these two girls who go to New York and what's happening in that town or not. Was I supposed to have that ambiguous feeling?
Yes. I wanted to lead in a particular direction where there were possibilities of one or two of the characters in this town who happened to maybe have something to do with these two young girls' death. But I also wanted to be open in itself. It was more of an investigation. And these filmmakers are not police. They are not there to go charge somebody with a crime. More of revealing the facts and letting the audience, if you will, decide their outcome.
All Roads Lead will screen this Sunday at 6:30 p.m. at the Tivoli Theater. And I enjoyed it very much, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
And we're going to bring you back into the conversation in a few minutes, Peter, for a general discussion about filmmaking and what you went through. So we'll look forward to talking to you in a few minutes. Right now, director Brian Jun's work has appeared in the St. Louis International Film Festival in previous years. This year, he wrote the screenplay for She Loves Me Not and co-directed with William Sanderson. Is it Sanderson, Brian?
Yes, it is Sanderson. Okay. Jack Sanderson.
Jack Sanderson.
William's his birth name, but he goes by Jack.
Okay, good enough. Well, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Steve.
Oh, and I have to say, full disclosure, that I dabble in film acting, and the first two projects I ever did were student films for you. Weren't you in high school?
No, I would have been in my freshman year of college.
Okay, almost. One was at a Catholic children's home in Alton, and then I did something for you in your grandparents' basement.
Yes, you did.
So you've come a long way since then.
I'm trying.
Your film, this one, She Loves Me Not, features some prominent actors.
It does, and I was very lucky that I wrote the script with Jack, and we made a list of some potential leading men, and I think we had Cary Elwes on there, and Peter Gallagher, and Jeff Fahey, and Cary was our first choice, and slowly but surely we were able to get the script to him, and once he signed on, the rest of the cast fell into place.
Karen Black, one of her last performances.
Yeah, you know, I was the last director that Karen worked with, and it was a privilege and an honor to work with her. And we knew she was sick coming into Alton to do the film. And my mother happens to be a nurse, so my mother was so kind to sort of be with her on set and help her with her medication. And honestly, it worked out really well. And
wow, what an experience! Well, let's talk about your film, She Loves Me Not. It's in three chapters. And it begins, the opening scene is there's this guy on a couch. It's a big fancy house, but he's not doing so well.
Well, no, there's a guy on a couch, and we begin this title sequence of his daily routine. And he happens to be searching, he's in the old Olin Mansion, which we shot in Alton, built in 1927.
That's right on the bluffs there.
It's right on the bluffs, and he's searching for his assistant, his young protege. And this begins, She Loves Me Not. And we follow his journey, this three vignette slice of life journey, as he searches for true love.
He's a wild guy. I mean, he's drinking in the morning, right?
Yes.
And so he's a little mixed up. This girl he's living with, they sort of have an open relationship. But it took me a while to figure out, is that his wife, his mistress, somebody just dropped by?
Right. Well, it's revealed that it's his assistant. I mean, it's no secret. Chapter one is called The Assistant. And the film is structured, since it is about a writer, it's structured in three chapters. And in each chapter, he's dealing with a new set of circumstances in his career and his personal life.
So there's some interesting scenes there between this woman you mentioned and the pool boy. We'll let that go.
Played by John Robinson. And the girls, played by Brianna Evigan.
And they're wonderful, too. So after that, his publicist, your character's publicist, arrives, and she's coming to sort of straighten him out, for want of a better term.
Correct. Right? He's written a new book, and he's getting back on there, and so we can...
And we have a clip when she arrives, and she walks into his elaborate foyer, and we'll go from there.
Mr. Rowlandson, Marcy Martin, nice to finally meet you.
Oh, right. Welcome.
Wow, this is some house.
Thank you.
Were you expecting me?
Patty said you were coming. I have your info in an email somewhere.
I can get a room in town if it's not convenient for me to stay here.
What's the point of having 14 bedrooms if I can't put my new publicist up when she comes to town to straighten me out?
Okay.
Can I fix you a drink, or you want to go straight to your room?
It's a little early.
Nonsense. You want one or not?
I guess I'll have a drink.
She Loves Me Not is part of the St. Louis International Film Festival. Brian Jun, along with Jack Sanderson, directed that film, and Brian is our guest today. And they're not kidding about that house, because I have been to parties there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what it is.
It's elaborate, it's beautiful, and they just remodeled it. So
one thing I noticed, you made reference to Mark Twain in there about East Coasters. How did that go?
Geez, you're really putting me on the spot. I didn't even write that. Jack Sanderson wrote that line.
Oh, see, I was going to ask.
See, Jack is an East Coaster, and I'm a Midwesterner.
I thought that came from you because of the Mark Twain reference, but it didn't.
Right. It came from Jack.
They make some statement that all East Coasters think Mark Twain came from Connecticut or where it was he lived later, and not from Missouri. So
right.
That's what that's all about. So this, tell me more about the main character. His pen name is Rex.
Right, Rex Stevens,
and the
production company happens to be Rex Productions, so that's where we got that from.
So he's trying to make a comeback.
He's trying to make a comeback half-heartedly, in despite his drinking and his running around with different women, and he's living on the fumes of fame, and he's a has-been.
Let's play a clip involving Karen Black, which may be, you say, her last performance. Tell me about her character and how she fits into this.
Karen plays the maid, the creepy maid that makes an appearance in the second vignette, and that woman you heard earlier in the clip, that was Caitlin Keats. So she plays the maid that's taking care of our protagonist, Brady Olinson, and she's very unhappy that this woman is in her house.
Looks like my efforts have been wasted. Nah, you're not wearing enough makeup to be one of his kids.
Have you read his new book?
I'm not much of a reader. I read the paper sometimes.
Oh.
I help Brady keep this place clean.
Must be a big job.
You got that right.
Can I help?
No.
And that's a scene featuring Karen Black from Brian Jun's film, She Loves Me Not. And one thing I want to say about yours, Brian, when I started watching it, I didn't realize until I was into it a little bit, that it's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a humorous element that I didn't expect.
It's, you know, it's a very satirical piece of work, and it's supposed to be lighthearted and funny. And, you know, we wanted to have fun with it and make, you know, create these engaging characters that people could really relate to.
That's Brian Jun, also rejoining us now, Peter Bolte, both who have films in the St. Louis International Film Festival, which winds up this weekend. And I should mention, Brian, that your film is going to screen Saturday, 9:30 in the evening at the Tivoli, and then Sunday at 4 in the afternoon at the Wildy Theater over in Edwardsville.
Correct.
Right. All right, Peter Bolte, Brian Jun, let's talk a little bit about filmmaking. You're both originally from this area, and you both have done things other places. Although, Brian, you've done work here before, but I guess my question is, why did you choose to shoot on location in this area? Is it just because you're familiar with it, or are there some other reasons, Peter?
Mine is familiar with it, resources, locations. There's something about the city and the surrounding areas that I find accessible personally. And visually, I find it fascinating and endless, almost, where, you know, coming from photography and a painting background, where open canvas, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I've shot a short film here, actually, VO in 2003, I think I shot it, starring Sean Goulette. And that was the first film I shot here, other than having made some short films in college at Webster and which were more esoteric horror films. So yeah, it's the resources, it's the connection from having been from here.
Brian, what about you? I know Steel City was shot pretty much in the Alton area too, so.
Yeah, I think Peter is exactly right. It's our resources and it's our connection to the area. It's the sense of place that, you know, areas like Alton for me possesses, and St. Louis. And, you know, Steel City was shot here because it was set here. And after that was such a great experience for me, I wanted to come back.
Well, let me ask you that. Since you've got some pretty well-known names, including Karen Black, in your current film, back, speaking of Steel City, it was the first time I ever saw America Ferrera, who went on to become Ugly Betty. This was before she got her TV role. So what's it like finding talent when you come to the Midwest?
It's a journey, and I embrace it because I'm a big proponent of Midwest filmmaking, and I love to find Midwest actors and people excited to come on board anytime I do a project.
Uh-huh. And Peter, most of your actors, or at least a lot of them, were local also.
I'd say 50% of the film are local. St. Louis-based or surrounding areas. When we were shooting in Southern Illinois, a few came from there. And then a few of the other actors were from New York and in Los Angeles. But I used either through word of mouth or through Talent Plus, local agency, where I would go through headshots and get a visual essence, then submit sides, and I would have several actors or actresses read from that and slowly broke down auditions through that process.
Let's talk a little bit about raising money for a film, how challenging that is in, you know, these days. And, you know, you guys are creative guys, right? You write screenplays, you direct. That doesn't mean necessarily that you're really into the business side. I don't know if you are or not. But sometimes creative people don't really like the business side, but part of your job has to be raising money, so speak to that, Brian.
Well, and I'm sure Peter can attest to this. I mean, if you want to get a film made, you have to be business savvy at some point in order to raise the money, figure out how your financing is going to be structured, make it attractive to potential investors, and at the same time, be passionate enough to where they understand that there is a risk involved. And it's certainly not easy.
Is it like pulling teeth?
I mean, it can be. I've been very fortunate in the past that certain things have come together quickly, other things haven't. But if you do enough films and you get a track record and you have some success here and there, and not all my films have been successful, hopefully you can continue to do it.
What about that, Peter?
This is my second feature, and it's the second one I also self-financed. So that is a whole different process and set of problems that you deal with when you go. However, it is one of these things where you have to merge the creative and the business, and it's a grueling process, and you don't want to lose sight of the creative as you're doing it, especially when you're using your own dollars. You have to step back and make smart choices with everything you're doing, from developing, pre-production, all the way through post, and have some type of idea of what your bottom line dollar was, mm-hmm. to be able to make sense of it when it's all over.
Right. Well, talk a little bit about, briefly, what your inspirations were getting into this. Did you have actors or directors or maybe even particular movies that inspired you when you were young that kind of pushed you in this direction?
Are we speaking generally,
yeah.
overall? I mean, I was into all the normal things as a kid and into sports, and I wanted to be an actor initially and was in some school plays, and then started getting into independent films and foreign films, and thought this is a great opportunity to kind of merge all my interests into one thing, and that happened to be filmmaking.
Was there a certain type of film or director that...
There's been so many directors. I mean, a lot of American independents like Jim Jarmusch and the old school guys like John Schlesinger and Bob Raffleson and, the old school mavericks.
Peter, what about you?
Very similar, as of merging some part of my youth. My background was in painting, and I was always drawing and visually composing things. That was my medium. Having an undergraduate degree and then a post-baccalaureate in fine arts, I switched, finally made the full turn into motion picture, which was narrative storytelling in the same fashion. And influence-wise, it's very similar, 70s American cinema, when I look back at the naturalism of that, Hal Ashby, Raffleson, Cassavetes, and then more masters of their craft like Kubrick and...
That's Peter Bolte. His All Roads Lead will screen Sunday, this Sunday, last day of the St. Louis International Film Festival, Sunday evening at 6:30 at the Tivoli. And Brian Jun and Jack Sanderson's film, She Loves Me Not, will screen Saturday, tomorrow evening, 9:30 at the Tivoli, then Sunday, 4 p.m. at the Wildy Theater in Edwardsville, Illinois. We have a link to Cinema St. Louis's website if you go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. And the festival is just such a wonderful time, and I enjoyed both your films very much, and I wish you continued success.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Jun and Peter Bolte. Coming up next, the St. Louis Symphony in New York, and later, some Thanksgiving cooking tips. This is St. Louis Public Radio.